Welcome to the Boogie Down Bombers Podcast. A podcast talking all things Yankees and baseball.
Now batting for the Yankees.
Now, here's your hosts, Austin, Tim, and Nick.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Boogie Down Bombers Podcast. I'm Austin Verhoef, and along with Tim LaDuca and Nick Giovanelli, today we're going to start with the continuation of a topic of last episode, and that was Clint Frazier. However, the topic has changed a bit because we were talking about how excited we were that he was getting called up last episode, and this episode we're going to talk about how well he proved us correct. Clint Frazier has gone off. I don't have his line up in front of me, which I definitely should have had, but he has hit multiple home runs, has gotten on base, I think, at least once every game, and has shown what I think we all knew, and that is that this guy is ready for the MLB.
I have a Clint lineup right now, and geez, he's good. He's got a .6 WAR, which is good considering he's played 4 games. And it's higher than like a lot of other players right now, because you know some suck. He's got 2 home runs, 3 runs scored, and 8 RBIs. And now for his line, we have a .444 batting average, 500 on base percentage, 944 slugging, which is a OPS of 1.444.
Jesus Christ.
Are you guys ready for his OPS plus?
Yeah.
286.
Hey.
Oh my Lord.
Yeah. It's pretty good. You know, it's pretty good.
And we haven't seen... Go ahead, Tim.
Did you guys get a COVID test?
I have.
Does it say not detected if you don't have it, or does it say negative if you don't have it?
Mine said not detected.
Okay, good. I thought it says please reconsider recollection of a new specimen.
What does that mean?
Is that why I have it?
Whoa. All
right, continue. I think I'm good. I think we're fine.
Yeah, I mean, I feel okay. So, Clint, we all knew he was MLB hitter ready. I think everyone knew that.
Facts.
The reason he was down was because of defense, and I'm not even fully sold on that. I think the reason he was down was because of how many outfielders we had. And we haven't seen an issue.
He made a nice diving catch, second game?
Yeah, his attitude seems to be completely different. A lot of people got this feeling like that he was like a dick, which I never got. But every interview now, he's smiling throughout the entire interview.
Well, he hasn't made a poor error yet.
True.
Because the main reason why people weren't a fan, or what I think anyway, of why people weren't a fan of him was when, remember, he made that like string of errors in one game.
I was at that game.
Then he just didn't answer to the media and let his teammates do it for him. That kind of made me not like his personality as much, because
it was a bad move.
I'm sure he's a great guy, but to not own up to the errors that you made like that he did that.
It was definitely a poor decision on his part, and I think he knows that.
Yeah.
I don't think that was because he was... I think that was more just frustration taking over, because I'm sure it didn't feel good making those errors.
I mean, I would hope it didn't feel good.
I mean, this is a guy who even in his previous stints up here has hit. He's always hit. So the defense, the only thing holding him back, and I mean, it's not hard to not look awful in the outfield when Miguel Andujar is in the same outfield.
Oh, dude.
Oh, wait, dude. Don't transition off of Frazier just yet.
Okay, no, okay. What's up?
Well, I have an interesting thing after Tim.
Because, Frazier's just hitting, even, like, beyond the box score, he's hitting the crap out of the ball. His hardest hit ball was 103 miles an hour.
Oh, I have stuff.
Pretty good. He already has 10 hard hit balls, and he's hitting the ball hard 71% of the time. His average exit velocity is 95, and I'm pretty sure if he qualified, that would lead the league.
It doesn't.
Didn't we talk about that last time with Tatis? He averaged like 94.
I have the top five exit velos. I just have to find it.
The average exit velos?
Yes.
Yeah.
You know what's interesting to think about is we were all on board. I mean, since the start of this podcast, this was always a Clint Frazier podcast.
Like, the Seriously. First question you guys asked me, or like one of the first, was my opinion on Clint Frazier.
It has always been a Clint Frazier-friendly podcast, and in the beginning of the season, we were like, trade him if you're not going to play him. Because it strictly I felt just bad for him.
Because if you love something, let it go.
Exactly. We know he can hit. We know he can be on a major league team. And we trade him so he can go do that. Because there's no point in just sending him to the minors again. I honestly, I don't think there's any Yankee fan in the world who cares how well the Scranton Rail Riders play.
So, against themselves.
I mean, I hope they're good. I hope they don't suck.
Yeah.
Well, I actually want them to be bad. I do, for the Red Wings' sake.
Oh, God. Come on.
Yeah, but if they're bad, that means the future of the Yankees isn't that great. So.
And also, I finally found the average exit velos. For the AL. All
right, let's hear it.
This is a minimum 10 balls in play. Joe Adell, the Angels rookie, leads the AL with 97.5 miles an hour.
Jesus.
That's really hard. Miguel Sano is second with 95.5.
Makes sense.
Teoscar Hernandez, 95.3. Clint Frazier, 95.1. And Matt Olson, 94.5. This is as of 2 p.m., Monday, August 17th. Just in case it's changed since then.
Just make good hard contact, and I think we'll be good.
Yeah, I mean, it certainly seems to be working out that way. But moving on from a young guy we're all on board with to one that's questionable at this point, and that's Miguel Andujar.
Yeah, that wasn't as good of a transition as it was going to be if I didn't interrupt, but I'll allow it.
you'll allow it. Oh, thank God for that. So, Miguel Andujar.
Just for your sake, Austin.
Miguel Andujar, we all know how well he has done in the past.
He's still my 2018 Rookie of the Year.
He's 100 to me as well.
No comment.
Yeah, it's better off that way.
One thing. Tim. Andujar and Ohtani have something in common now. They both can't pitch.
All right.
That's all I got.
So.
Rude.
I don't think we should root for him to be injured. But.
Oh, I'm not rooting for him to be injured. It's just that the big thing with Ohtani is that, he can hit and pitch. Now. He just hits.
Is that a thing that's going to go on from now on?
What?
Are we to the point where he's just going to be a hitter?
For now, anyway. I think it's yet to be determined if he can still pitch.
So, all right, but the thing with Andujar is he can hit. We know that. Although he hasn't this year.
What's his line? Does he even have a hit yet?
You can look at his line. It's not a great line. Do I think he's done?
Oh, wow. Remember how Clint had a 0.64?
Yeah.
Andujar's is negative 0.6.
Yikes.
Jeez. Completely in the opposite direction.
And Andujar has one hit.
So, here's the thing.
Jeez, man.
Do I think he forgot how to hit? No. Is he going to get back to the hitter that he was? Yes. Doubt. But here's the issue. The issue comes with, where are we going to put him? I'm not putting him above Talkman in the outfield. Are you kidding me? Talkman can hit, and that man can field. Also, it's nice to have some speed in the lineup that's not Tyler Wade, because Tyler Wade he can't really get on base.
However, Talkman's base running lately has not looked good.
When it comes to third base, I'm not taking Urshela out of the lineup.
You can't know. Dude, I'm sold on Urshela now.
He has solidified himself in that spot. DH?
That in cleanup like two nights ago, man.
DH, I mean, when Stanton's back, you're not putting him above Stanton. And when Stanton's out, I still don't think you put him there.
Nah, Stanton's DH-ing for me the rest of the year.
Stanton.
I don't know if you can stay
healthy.
I'm
fine with that.
No, I'm saying Stanton is DH-ing for the rest of the year, but I'm talking about like when, right now when he's injured. I'm not putting Andujar on DH right now.
I have no
confidence in him right now.
My ideal outfield right now is Talkman left, Hicks center, Frazier right, and DH. Maybe Gary?
Well, you can DH catch. Gary once in a while. You give Gary DH once in a while. Voight can DH, and then
someone.
You could put Voight there, and then you could put Ford at first.
Yeah, that's what I was forgetting. We could either put Voight or Ford at DH and first. They're interchangeable there. It's fine.
But that's... Here's the good thing about it. Do I think that this... What are we in? 4 weeks in the season? Close to 4 or 5. Do I think that these 4 or 5 weeks made teams not want Miguel Andujar? No. So, it's a piece we can trade. Here's the issue with that, though. I don't know how many trades we're going to see this year.
Yeah, no.
I don't know if we'll see any. Which is I'm sure there's going to be, like, one or two, but I'm confident in saying that there might not be any trades in the 2020 season.
Who's going to get traded? When looking at pitchers, who's going to get traded?
Mike Clevenger.
Lance Lynn? But do I want to trade Miguel Andujar for Lance Lynn?
No.
No.
I would trade Miguel Andujar for Mike Clevenger.
I would too. He's
not the smartest person right now, but he's a
we
good
have
pitcher.
We would just have to acquire a brain from some other team, and then we could just throw him in what's hilarious? I just got an alert for a trade between the Phillies and the Rays.
You're
no
kidding.
Way.
Swear to God. Grant, it's a minor trade.
I don't think you're going to see any blockbuster trades. So, Nick, you can hedge your bet there. I don't think there will be anything of substance, but the little trades will keep happening.
Maybe no major league trades?
Philly sent Edgar Garcia to the Tampa Bay Rays for a player to be named later.
No way.
Bro, not Edgar Garcia.
Edgar.
Main man. Man like Edgar Garcia.
Okay, but... While I'm at, I've been watching a lot of Phillies games, I'm actually wearing a Phillies jersey at the moment. Why are the Phillies trading away pitching?
Maybe they're going to...
Is it addition by subtraction? Because that's what you need to do with this bullpen, I think. The Phillies bullpen is laughable.
Is it worse than the Red Sox bullpen?
Maybe on par? It's bad. It's really bad.
Can we find this out?
The Red Sox bullpen, last time I checked, has like a 7-something ERA.
So do the Phillies.
Yeah, the Phillies. All
right, well,
isn't
good. You're right, saying on par.
It is not good at all. So, moving on from... Where'd my thing go? Moving on.
I don't know.
Moving on from Andujar. One thing. You would say that the 2019 season of the Yankees was a success, correct? Well, not a complete success.
I wouldn't, really.
But it was a good year.
The regular season was a success.
Yes.
That's not something that I hold too dear to myself.
So the regular season was a success.
Yes.
We're pretty much on the same path because literally everyone is getting injured.
Injury too. LeMahieu didn't get hurt last year. Or he wasn't on the IL anyway.
I don't get it. I don't understand what is going on. So, Judge got hurt from the turf, which is fun.
Boone said after that it was just wear and tear. There was nothing specific. But
yeah,
Boone kind of lied to us.
It's like a calf strain thing.
But he already feels 100%.
And he begged to not go on the IL so he could play earlier.
Yeah, what the heck? I don't know why they did that.
Well, it better safe than sorry, right?
Yeah, honestly, I'd rather have him completely healthy. Because I remember you, Tim, on either last episode or 2 episodes ago, you were talking about how you'd rather have players come back at 100% and not 90, you know?
Yeah. So, he's hurt, and then somehow the machine gets broken or sprained because he has a thumb sprain. How did that even... That happened... Was that during the swing? Or did it just...
It looked like it.
Or did it just, like, it was hurting, and then he swung, and it just made it worse?
Because maybe both.
I don't see how your thumb could get hurt during a swing. It's very strange. He's also a very minor injury. He'll be out, I think, 2 to 3 weeks.
2 to 3 weeks.
So, not bad, but I want him back in the lineup as soon as possible.
But in 60 games, it's that 2 to 3 weeks is a lot more than in a 162-game season.
Yeah. 2 to 3 weeks, that could be like 20 games. That's a third of the season. Nuts. So, I want him back. And I want him back soon. I almost cried there.
Yeah, it sounds like it.
I miss LeMahieu too, man. But
do you think anyone finishes over 400?
No.
Hey, LeMahieu can.
No, I don't.
A lot less of a chance for his average to go down over the next 2 to 3 weeks.
Even Charlie Blackman with 437 in cores.
God. Charlie Blackman is... He's a very good baseball player, but every time I look at his away stats, it just reminds me that there are genuine Coors products, and he is one of them, in my opinion.
What about my man Donovan Solano, though?
Dude, I want whatever he's having for breakfast.
He's struggling right now.
Oh,
I want whatever he used to have for breakfast.
Yeah.
I might drop him from my fantasy team.
I want to look at. I'm looking at Blackman's splits right now. I want to see how well he's hitting away.
Do I drop Jorge Soler?
Dude, I have not looked at my fantasy team.
Still?
At all.
Go ahead.
Gavin Lux is in my lineup.
That's still? I think you beat my brother who checks his lineup, though, today. This week.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Which one, Ned?
Ned.
Shout out, Ned.
Shout out, Ned. Jorge Soler has a 37% strikeout percentage right now.
I mean, he always strikes out a lot, though.
No, he struck out 36 times. He said negative points to let. I can't drop him, though, can I? He's got big home run power.
As a Cubs fan, are you happy about that trade that was made?
Who did we get for him?
Wade Davis.
I guess no. No, I don't want to have to deal with this kind of player, though. A more extreme...
Who's your right
less
fielder?
Less market... Jason Hayward and Steven Souza Jr.
Jason Hayward's a great signing.
Okay, enough of this, okay? Hayward's playing well this year. Let's transition this to something more exciting, like win probability added for the Yankees.
Alright. I found Blackman's away splits. He's also hitting .417 away and .451 at home. So, you know,
There's no way he could possibly be hitting .437 and then have, like, a bad...
Oh, yeah, I know. But
average on the road.
But, that right now... He is not hitting from pure cores.
What will it take for you, Nick, to approve of Blackman hitting .400 this year?
Him to do it?
No, but he said he won't. No, he said if he does it with like a .200 batting average on the road and a .530 at home.
Because like, dude, now I want to look at his old splits.
If he does a .530 at home, I don't care what he does on the road.
That could happen.
But I care about that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
All right, let's look at Silver Slugger's Blackman's one. He's won two. Now let's see what years. Okay, we got 2016 and 2017. Really? Yeah. All right. His highest averages were...
Someone thought the ping pong ball.
Yeah, that was me.
Let's look at...
You playing pong over there?
Splits.
No.
2017, if it wants to load, he hit, that's not right, he hit .391 home and .276 away.
So that is not legit in your opinion?
It just,
why is that not legit?
I need it to be closer. Like, he's hitting almost .400 at home and like not even .280 away. It's good, but, like, just, I don't know. And now let's look at 2019, his second highest career average. Even though, you know, we're not a batting average podcast here.
Betts already has 2 WAR.
Betts is ridiculous.
But Charlie Blackman has 1.3. That's 6 among all batters. That means he's doing more than just hitting for average.
Look, I'm a Charlie Blackman guy. I always have been, I always will be. I don't care what any of these losers say.
Oh, but like 2019, he hit .379 at home and .256 away.
Will you get away from batting average, you 50-year-old?
I know I don't like it, but it's just, I don't know. I'm just not a fan.
Whatever. He has a better beard than you do. So.
I know. I didn't say that he didn't.
Let's get back to the Yankees, all right? And let's talk about the Red Sox. The Red Sox
series. Let's get back to the Yankees. Let's talk about the Red Sox.
The Red Sox series. So we sweep them again. And what are we putting the odds at that we sweep them the whole year.
How many more games do we have against them?
Couldn't tell you, but I think it's
probably
a lot.
Probably like six.
Let's see. Yankees, Red Sox, games 2020.
So what if we played seven games against them so far?
Yeah.
And we won all seven.
Mm-hmm. What the hell, man? No, I'm not going to find it.
Which is pretty good.
Schedule.
We outscored them 30-13.
Quick math there, Austin.
Thank you.
Not like I did it earlier.
Okay.
Oh, we only have three more games against them.
Oh, three? So it's very possible.
Yeah, this is really possible. We're almost at the end of the schedule, guys.
Yeah, true. Well,
like, how many games
have we played?
We're 16.
The trade deadline's
right?
Almost here.
Yeah, the 16, trade deadline's like 2 weeks away.
We've played around 23.
We've played
and the Cardinals have played what, like 5 or 6?
I think like 7 or 8 now.
Didn't they just have like 3 doubleheaders?
Oh, they have a lot of doubleheaders.
I know, but yeah, then they just play 3 in a row.
They have 11. Sucks. They have 11 doubleheaders they have to play. My dog is scratching at the door. Stall while I go let him out.
I was thinking about this, Nick. I don't want there to be 7-inning doubleheaders because then it unfairly affects teams who have rain delays. Because, like, think about the Rays will never have a rain delay, so they won't play as many 7-inning games. So they won't.
They might not play any. Oh, yeah. Other teams against other teams. At their home. Never mind.
But, like, then they have more plate appearances and they have. It's just not fair that teams who play outdoors are going to have more 7-inning games than other teams. I'm like, think about that for like career stats. Like, if you play in, where does it rain a lot?
Boston.
I mean, up here in April.
Seattle. Yeah. Seattle mostly.
Yeah, they have an indoor stadium though, so like the Yankees are going to get significantly less plate appearances than say a West Coast team if this happens, and it's going to really affect the record books. I do not want to keep this.
I pray that this is a 1 year thing.
It's the only one I want to be.
Unforeseen circumstances.
This and the runner on second in extra innings has to go.
I don't. Okay, I like the 10th, that one.
But it's just so early. Like, again, I've said before, I would be okay with it if it started like at the 12th inning.
All right, I'll take
that at all.
But to go immediately from the 10th inning, I hate that.
And in these 7-inning games, if it goes over, you get a runner on second in the 8th inning.
Yeah.
I hate that as well.
Both of these rules
are gone. I've seen a lot of people enjoy the 7-inning doubleheaders. I hate them so much.
They're terrible. I can't
deal
with
them. I don't like them.
I do not like it at all.
The only cool thing, I think, that has happened with these two new rules is when that dude on the Dodgers hit the first ever leadoff two-run home run. That's the only thing I think is cool.
And then there was a leadoff sacrifice fly as well.
And then there's going to be leadoff sack bunt. Like, come on. Get bunting out of here, man.
Facts.
Done with bunting.
Someone clip that. Get bunting out of here, man.
Like,
you know who you should talk to? Roman Quinn of the Phillies. It's the only way he gets on base.
Oh, you know who I should talk to about hating bunting? CC Sabathia.
CC's not a fan.
Especially when they bunt on his bad knee. Like, come on, dude. Let's talk about unwritten rules. Exploiting a pitcher's injured knee to get on base.
My favorite thing was when he got him out as he was running back. He was just screaming at the guy. Even though he got him out.
But he's still pissed, and I understand it.
Yeah, bunting is baloney.
You know what else is baloney? Some of the unwritten rules in baseball.
Before we do that, let's take a quick break and hear from our sponsors.
Yeah, baby.
You're listening to the Boogie Down Bombers podcast. Here's your hosts, Austin, Tim, and Nick.
All right, so...
Man, that's fire.
It is. It's really nice. So, Nick, you brought up the unwritten rules, and there have been instances before where I brought up rules that I didn't like, or, like, unwritten rules that I thought were just stupid. This instance right here is the dumbest one I've ever seen. So
I've also never heard of it until last night.
Me neither.
Not swinging on 3-0.
So Fernando Tatis, it's, what is it, 10-3 the game, right? So
I believe so.
7-run lead, late in the game, but a 7-run lead. Certainly a large lead, but not insurmountable. And Fernando Tatis hits a grand slam on a 3-0 pitch. For some reason, people get mad at him for that.
Especially the Rangers manager, Chris Woodward.
Here's the thing, Chris. He's paid to play baseball, right? And he's
paid to hit baseballs hard.
He is, and he does it at a very high level. So, he hits a grand slam, and you're mad because of what the count was when he swung at it? This is the dumbest thing I've ever heard. I can't believe we're having this conversation. He swings at a 3-0 pitch. A hitter's count.
See, I get not swinging.
3-0 is it.
I don't know. I remember getting yelled at by my coach for swinging at 3-0 because I could have just been walked, but instead I grounded into a out, you know?
Well, that's different. You're only supposed to swing at it, really, if it's a meatball.
Yeah.
Which Tatis
Which
got.
It was!
I got an update from Jeff Passan.
Let's hear it.
Everyone got an update. I don't know Jeff Passan like that. But... after Tatis hit that absolute... Oh, bye, Tim. After Tatis hit that absolute meatball thrown
Piss
by
missile.
Whichever...
Daddy Jack.
By whichever Rangers reliever threw it, the next Rangers reliever, if it wasn't the same one, Ian Gibout, however you pronounce that dude's last name.
Yeah, no one cares.
Yeah, he threw at Machado.
Yes.
Who batted after Tatis. And he is expected to be suspended for intentional throwing as soon as today.
As he should.
Yes.
Why would you throw at a guy because his teammate hit a home run?
Like, I would understand it if he absolutely pimped it and watched it and stood there for, like, 10 seconds or some crazy amount of time. But, like...
He didn't do any of that.
Get over it. He did the bat flip, which everyone does now.
Yeah, bat flips aren't even a thing anymore. The only time you see issues nowadays are for staring.
Word to Derek Dietrich.
Word. I love Derek Dietrich, by the way.
Yeah, so do I, though. Like, that wasn't a dig on him. It's just he did do that last year.
Yeah, he looked at it, and he got thrown out. So, I don't understand, and I don't know if I ever will. There's no... And here's the most infuriating part. His manager criticized him for it.
I don't think, did he criticize him to his face, or was he showing saving face for the media and for the other team?
Wait, Tinger?
It doesn't matter.
The crazy thing was that he defended the Rangers for throwing at the next guy.
Oh, he did? That's
yeah.
Fugazi. Like, that's Fug of the Week type shit.
Yeah. The thing that
are we swearing on this podcast now?
maybe just bleep that one word. But, like, Tingler, man, what are you doing? Like, if apparently Tatis ignored the take sign, which is a... He shouldn't have done that.
True.
Which is understandable. He didn't... Although he hit a grand slam, he still ignored the manager's sign. Okay. That's understandable. Tingler can be upset at that. But you handle that behind closed doors in the locker room or whatever. What are you doing getting mad at the player to the media?
I once got a bunt sign, and then I hit a double. And he said, "Why didn't you bunt?" And I said, "Because I got a double."
Nice. You should have been benched. Seriously.
I got two RBIs. Two RBIs. You take it.
You take it, but you...
Well, here's the thing.
Blatantly ignored the coach.
Well, here's the thing. My intention was bunt. When that pitch was thrown, I was like, I'm going to bunt.
Were you
and then
looking,
it was...
Did you start bringing down the bat, like, as he was doing his thing?
Was it thrown 20 miles an hour?
It was.
Yeah, like, how did you do that?
I was like, I'm going to bunt. And then, whenever I bunted, I was actually pretty good at bunting. I would always bunt super late, because it would go down the line better for me.
So you drag bunted?
Yes. I would always drag bunt. I saw the pitch, and I was like, I'm not bunting.
Nah.
I was like, I'm making an executive decision here, and I was correct in making it. So, but,
like, that's exactly what Tatis did.
Exactly.
And I'm not defending.
It is, yeah.
If it was, like, a borderline strike, like, it was a strike, but it was... I don't want to say borderline, because that makes it seem like it's too close, but if it was closer to being a ball than it was, he probably would have taken it.
Isn't but it weird that if he just missed or he grounded out or something, like we wouldn't even, no one would have even noticed this play even happened?
Yeah, no, but instead, he did what the best thing he could have done for him and his team.
Okay, if it's a 2-run home run, I don't think we're talking about this.
I doubt it.
I don't know. I don't know if
it was a grand slam.
But here's the biggest issue I have is it's just because it was 3-0. So what, and not even paying attention to the Padres manager right now and his ridiculous name. Let's look strictly at the Rangers right now.
Their coach pissed me off.
So when's the best time for me to hit a home run for you? Well, you don't get to pick that. Oh, I don't like that you hit it at 3-0. You should have waited till 3-1. If he hit a bomb 3-1,
full count, dude.
Just pitch better.
If you don't want him to swing at 3-0,
walk him.
Don't throw 3 straight balls.
I don't get it. It makes no sense to me. The guy's on fire. He's gonna green light at 3-0. It's gonna happen.
He did not get the green light.
It's not like they were stealing bases.
It's not like he bunted. He did the exact opposite.
But speaking of the Rangers manager, Chris Woodward. Hey dude, remember when you were beating down on like the Royals or something last year and it was 12-1? And then you scored 4 more runs? Did you care about running up the score last year when it was your team that was doing it?
Also, no, you know what this has? This has extreme Carlos Correa against Joe Kelly vibes. In terms of Carlos Correa yelling at Joe Kelly to throw him the fastball. But I'm not supposed to make it easy for you.
He didn't throw you the fastball because you swung at stuff in the dirt.
Hey, throw me a fastball. Throw me a fastball. Hey, don't swing at that pitch.
Don't swing at the ball in the dirt.
What is this stupid movement of players telling other players what to do in order to benefit them?
And you know what got me? Tatis had to apologize for absolutely destroying a baseball.
By the way,
if he goes into a slump, I'm going to be so mad.
By the way, there was nothing but elevator music behind his eyes.
He did not want to do that, and I completely support him. I don't understand it.
Eric Hosmer, at one point, yelled at the Rangers dugout, I'm going to talk to him. Another picture of him talking to Tatis, and Tatis's face
He's got the most deadpan look I've ever seen in my life.
It is the best face I've ever... It was literally, I don't care what you're telling me, but I'm going to listen to you just because I kind of have to. It's the dumbest thing I've ever seen in baseball.
This is a great way to grow the game, guys.
This stupid new movement.
Let's make a young star apologize for hitting a grand slam.
This stupid new movement of, I don't want you to do well against me, so I'm going to throw at you because of it.
Yo, what happened to let the kids play? Was that not a huge thing last year? Is it not what we're supposed to be doing now?
Hey, you think that's why the Astros didn't get any suspensions? They wanted to let the kids play.
I'm tired of this.
Yeah,
it's let the kids play until they do it against you.
It's the stupidest thing I've ever seen. Easily.
I wish he didn't ignore the take sign.
But the take sign isn't even the... That's not what I'm angered at. I'm not angered at his manager being mad at him for swinging through a take sign.
No, but the reason why he put the take sign on it was to not run up the score.
But that's stupid.
But that's how every team plays the game.
What if the Rangers came back?
7 runs isn't an unheard of thing.
Oh, yeah, it is. That game was over.
Well, that game might have been over, but the Yankees were down by 9 at one point and came back. And this is not 2019 Yankees or 2018 Yankees, like the good Yankees. This is like 2014 Yankees, 2013 Yankees.
We have suspensions.
Let me hear them.
Ian Gibault, whatever that dude's name is, is banned for 3 games for throwing behind Machado after Tatis's grand slam, and Chris Woodward gets 1 game, probably because he told that dude to throw at Machado.
Yep, so...
What a joke, man.
You know what I'm curious about? What do the Ranger fans feel about this?
True, because they were getting routed.
I don't think they would have cared.
But
Woodward kept talking, now they're upset about it. I don't know. I'm not a Texas Rangers fan.
I'm going to go on the Rangers Twitter... And I'm going to go to, like, their... No, not the New York Rangers. I want the Rangers that are still playing. I'm going to look at, like, the final score tweet and see the replies to it. The last thing they tweeted last night, by the way, was logs off. Period. And they made it pulled.
Because everyone probably went after them.
But the counter, like, I don't know. it's the major leagues. These aren't little kids who are getting their feelings hurt. These are professionals getting paid. So part of me kind of understands why the coach would put the 3-0 take sign on. But no, these are adults too. Let's get over ourselves here, guys. Don't lose 13-7 or however much they were losing by. It's not like me when I was playing travel baseball and I was 5'1" playing against Dwayne "The Rock" Johnson, Hercules and Zeus, getting killed 50-0, and they're stealing bases and my coach is like yelling at the other coach. That's like, I understand that, but there's also mercy rules at that level. So either we put a mercy rule in, in the majors, or we let them do whatever they want to try to make their money.
How do you...
if there's a mercy rule put in the MLB, I will have no words. And it'd have to be like, I don't think I'll be allowed to say them on here.
I think I'd be okay with like, what?
20
12 after 8.
Give me a 20-run mercy rule at any time.
That is never. I don't think I ever won by 20.
Good. Then that's what it should be. Make it 20 runs so it never happens.
Well, you know what's funny is a few years back, the Rangers scored like 25, 26 on the Orioles.
True.
Did they let up then?
But
well, there's a difference between letting up and swinging 3-0.
Well, like if swinging at 3-0 because you don't want to run up the score.
What if
he's
letting
up?
What if he swung at 2-0? No one would care.
True, and no one would care if he swung at 3-1 either.
3-0 is why we're having a
the problem. The problem is that 3-0. The problem is 3-0 holds that weight anyway. Like, why are we not supposed to swing at 3-0 besides the strategy part of it?
The only reason you shouldn't be swinging a 3-0 is because it could be ball 4. Not because you don't want to hurt the other pitcher's fifis.
Yeah, I didn't even know that was a thing.
Yeah, what is this? What is this? What is that soft, I don't want to hurt your feelings, so I'm going to do bad against you thing that's going on right now? What a joke.
I don't get it. It's this stupid movement. And I hope it goes away as quickly as it got here. Because I don't remember this ever being a thing. But it's funny. I'm on the Rangers Twitter. Looking at replies to the tweet. And I can't find one Rangers fan. They're all Padre fans. And how do you guys feel about these Twitter videos? Teams post on the opposing team's Twitter accounts after they win. There's this one video, and it always says, like, you just got beat by, and then it's like a person that's like pretty insignificant to the team.
I love that.
There's this one that says, you just got beaten by Zach Davies. This one's messed up.
What?
Someone just posted Josh Hamilton's mugshot.
Oh.
Yeah, this is looking pretty crazy. Then replied to the Josh Hamilton mugshot with the tweet, unnecessary, shameful, and way too far. And then 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 people commented on that one saying the exact same thing.
I've seen, you've just lost two... Some like Clint Frazier, and I've seen there's one about Mike Ford that makes me laugh every time.
There was one about Nestor Cortez Jr. last year, remember. How's he doing, by the way? It's interesting that we got rid of him.
Oh, there's a picture of Tommy La Stella. He just lost to La Slugger.
Oh, he's injured.
Wait, who?
Nestor Cortez. He dropped the junior, by the way.
You just lost to the Clint Commander. And it's a picture of Clint Frazier, his Nike cleats, and just a red lightning bolt.
Nestor Cortez the other day pitched a third of an inning, gave up 5 hits, 7 runs.
Oh. Jeez, man.
But then a day later, he was out with an elbow injury. So it seems to be because of that. His appearance before that, 2 innings pitched, 2 hits, 2 earned runs, 2 strikeouts. Just 2s all along the board. He only throws like 2 innings. So, I don't know. I just saw a ridiculous thing, by the way. You know how much money Ellsbury made per game?
Too much. How much, though?
$294,000.
Oh, speaking of Jacoby Ellsbury. Was that Tatis?
Yeah.
But speaking of Jacoby Ellsbury, let's never forget that Tyro Estrada was shot in the leg, left the bullet there for 6 months, and came back to the Yankees faster than Jacoby Ellsbury ever did.
Yeah, well, here's the funny thing. There was some controversy with that tweet a little while back, because the original person who tweeted it had it stolen from Eric Hubs, and what's really funny is he commented on it, and then a year and a half, 2 years later, he tweets it, which is very interesting because he acknowledged that he saw it before he just flat out took it, but yeah. There's nothing like
nice.
There's nothing like some good old remembrance of Jacoby Ellsbury's tenure on the Yankees. Every once in a while, I look up highlights because I really liked him when he was on the Yankees. I don't have the hatred most people have for him. Moving on from that. You guys want to play a fun game?
I'm always down for games.
Yes.
So, Thrive Fantasy.
Goats,
phenomenal really? App, by the way. Use code Boogie and you get $20 added to your deposit of $20 or more.
Free money. Dang.
Yeah, listen to that. Dang. $20.
Free beans.
You put in $20, you get $40. I mean, you're doubling your money there, fellas and lady fellas.
Like, come on. Why wouldn't you want free money?
Code Boogie. So, we're going to partake, you could say, in one of the contests. So, this is a $20 MLB Tuesday contest. Prize pool is $1,000. So, there's... We're going to enter, and then it's going to give us picks. So we have to fill up 5 picks. It gives us a list of 2, 4, 6, 8, 10 players. We have to pick 5 of these props. And we're only there. It's a lineup of prop bets. So here's one, for example. And they're points. So one of the prop bets is Francisco Lindor totaling... The prop bet is a half of a hit, 0.5 hits. The over is 80 points, and the under is 120 points.
Bro, you now, gotta go over on that one. I don't yeah, even know I am, you should choose that one.
I am...
Oh, and the Indians are playing the Pirates, dude.
Yeah, I am very confident in taking the over on that.
Yeah, but should we even waste a pick on that? Because that's such an easy... That's not a lot of points.
That is not a lot of points, you're right.
We could not choose Lindor.
Here's the Yankee one.
Ooh.
This one is tough.
Yeah.
I think.
Lay it on me.
4.5 Ks for Masahiro Tanaka.
I think I'll go the over on that. Ray's got some free swingers. Tanaka's got that nasty splitter.
But that would be, he would have to have five strikeouts in order to hit the over.
He has done that once. It's 3-5-3 this year.
I got confidence that it's Tanaka time tonight for him to have 5 strikeouts.
All right. Go over that. Okay.
By the way, both the over and the under are 100 points on that. That's basically a pick 'em. Trey Turner. This is a tough one. 1.5 total bases.
So does he get a double or 2 hits or a home run?
Sorry to interrupt our Thrive sesh right here, but Luke Voit is leading off tonight.
Yeah, I just got that.
And Duhar is DHing. Yes. At least he's not playing the field.
Wait, why is Frazier batting 7th? Interesting. Okay. So over under on Trey Turner taking 1.5. Remember, we don't have to take this bet. We could.
I'm feeling over on that.
Over is 120 points on that.
I like over.
Okay. I'd go with it. I'm Mookie less Betts. Sure about it than Tim, but I'll go with it.
He's on a 4-game hitting streak.
Okay.
Oh, you know what?
Does that make us feel better or worse?
That makes us feel better.
He might be due for a bad game, though.
Yeah, I know. It's
after
always
this one, though.
Mookie Betts, 0.5 RBI.
Oh, dude, you got to come on.
RBIs? I don't know. RBIs are tough. I never like betting RBIs because
home runs and RBI.
Mookie Betts is on fire, man.
Okay.
For that is like dependent.
I mean,
on
you don't have to take it.
Yeah, we don't. We have a couple more.
Yeah, I don't want to take it.
Yeah, don't take it.
Bryce Harper, King, wearing his jersey right now. 0.5 run.
At Boston, I think.
At Boston.
That.
Yep.
Okay. Yeah.
That's also dependent on the team, isn't it?
Yeah, because
that could be a home run for him.
Either he hits a home run or they drive him in.
Well, remember who's batting behind him. It's Realmuto.
Okay.
Who I am very confident in.
Who's pitching for the Red Sox tonight?
Does it really matter? They don't have one good guy.
Yeah, it's true.
Eugenio Suarez.
Godley? Who is that?
They don't
play Zach Godley.
Zach Godley.
With his 8.16 ERA.
Eugenio Suarez.
The Reds game's canceled.
Okay.
There's that answer.
Edwin Encarnacion. 1.5 total. Hits plus RBIs. I would take the under on that.
Well, I mean, if he...
If he hits a home run, we lose.
Yeah.
You're right.
Again, is this a pitcher?
How many have we chosen?
We have
last tomorrow.
We have 3 so far.
Scooball. He's making his debut. Mize is making his debut tomorrow, but two of their top pitching prospects are making their debuts today.
We took
Encarnacion struggling.
Yeah, that's why I'm saying about the under. We have. So far, we took the over on 4.5 strikeouts for Tanaka. We took the over on 1.5 total bases for Trey Turner. And we've taken the over for 0.5 runs for Bryce Harper.
Damn, maybe we have to do an under once in a
while. We definitely have to do an under.
I'd go with the under for Encarnacion. James McCann's betting behind him.
I'd also do the under for Matt Carpenter.
I will do... I'm confident. 1.5 total hits plus runs plus RBIs.
Oh, yeah. Take that under.
Max Kepler hits plus runs at 1.5. We have Yelich, 0.5 runs plus RBIs.
Over.
Taking the over on that? Okay. So we have our 5.
We're going to win so much bread tonight.
Our 5 is the 4.5 for Masahiro Tanaka. Over. We have the over 1.5 total bases for Trey Turner. We have the over 0.5 total runs for Bryce Harper. The over 0.5 total runs plus RBIs for Christian Yelich. And the under 1.5 total hits plus runs plus RBIs for Matt Carpenter. But now we have to pick two in case of emergency props. Now, one of those I am confident in taking is the Francisco Lindor half a hit.
Yeah, take that over for the emergency.
Take that, and then we have... I am confident in taking the under on the Edwin Encarnacion.
Okay.
Okay.
And just some extra news. The Yankees have signed Jordy Mercer to a minor league contract.
Have we?
Is he related?
To Bobby?
I don't know. I'm going to find out right now.
So that was Thrive Fantasy. Remember, you should all join because it is a phenomenal app.
You also get free bread.
Free bread, free cheese, free beans.
So now I have to do the reads. So this is a message from Thrive Fantasy. Come hashtag prop up on Thrive Fantasy this season. Thrive Fantasy is a daily fantasy sports app for player props. Choose 5 out of the 10 player prop options to build your lineup. Each prop has a fantasy point total associated with the over or under based on its likelihood to occur. The more points a selection is worth, the riskier it is. Rack up the most points to win a share of the prize pool. Use promo code BOOGIE when you sign up today and you will receive an instant $20 bonus on your first deposit of $20 or more. Download Thrive Fantasy on the App Store or Google Play Store or by visiting their website at www.thrivefantasy.com. Sign up and hashtag prop up today. So, we're around the league and we brought up Tatis, but we had to move on from that, as infuriating as that is. And we're going to end on two good notes. Two quick notes. No, hold on. We have two really good notes and then we have one awful note. So, what do you want to hear first, guys? You want to end it poorly, well, or like negatively, or do you want to end it positively? So what should I say first?
I think we should go with the bad news first.
Bad news first? Well, it's not really bad news for us as much as it is for Plesak and Clevinger, and that is that they have been assigned to the alternate site. These are two great pitchers. These are two pitchers that are, when at their best, all-star level. And on top of that, they're two absolute morons. They're not even just morons because they broke protocol. That's not the only reason. The responses to it, where Clevinger didn't even own up to it right away, and he was defending Plesak in a meeting, and then said he was there. And then Plesak, did you guys see the Instagram video?
That video was so funny.
He is recording himself driving. Not really safe. No seatbelt. Also, by the way.
Yeah,
bruh.
I don't know what he's thinking.
He wasn't.
Well, you can't think when you don't have a brain, right? So he's talking about how the media portrayed him in a bad way here. And he's talking about how bad the media is. Dude, the media's not bad here. You're a freaking idiot. I have never seen a more tone-deaf person than Zach Plesak in this situation. Clevinger.
Yes, I've never seen someone more tone deaf in this situation either, because I do not see people breaking COVID protocols as a baseball player very often. So just by default. By default, it's the most.
I mean, think about what they're risking here. They're risking, first off, them getting it. They're risking their teammates getting it. They're risking the sport to come to a screeching halt. All because they wanted to have a little din-din with their friends in Chicago. Just awful. And I am... we said it last podcast, the Indians have done nothing but handled this in the exact correct way. The Indians are at no fault here. This is all just these two morons. Now, Oliver Perez actually threatened to leave the team if they weren't sent down.
Oh, no.
Well, I mean...
I'm sure the Indians are... I mean, yes, I bet that they want to keep their players happy, but I'm not entirely sure that they'll miss him.
They might not miss Oliver Perez, but there's a lot of... I don't think Oliver Perez is alone in that assessment.
Yeah. I bet he might have been just the one to say it and tell, like, the media about it, like, get what he thinks out there, you know?
Yeah. There's not many players on the team that I think are happy with them, and there may be a chance they trade one of these players. It's possible.
Clevenger, man. He's a good pitcher.
Because they're great pitchers. Him. But when you break up a locker room, it's not going to end well.
And I was all for Clevenger, like, over the offseason and during the COVID, like, breaker. Like, you know, that break in play. Because, like, he spoke some facts about the Astros, and he was, like, bringing up how the MLB can do this 60-game season right if they do certain things correct and all that, and how the Astros should have been punished. And I was like, man, Mike Clevenger, he's a smart dude, man. And now it's just gone. Like, yeah. Really? Ruin it?
Not a smart man. He's not a smart man. You guys remember... The Dark Knight?
Not a big movie guy.
I'm not talking about the movie.
I was going to say, Harvey? Are you really quoting a movie right now? But you're talking about...
Yeah.
Talking about player. Matt Harvey. Matt Harvey today got the call for like the fifth or sixth time. He is going to be on a Major League roster with the Kansas City Royals. Is it an accomplishment to make it on the roster with the Royals? I don't know. However, it's quite a story, especially if he could. He's obviously not going to become what he was. We're never gonna be like, oh, it's Harvey Day. Ever again. That's just not going to happen. But if he becomes a serviceable starter, it's a pretty cool story.
I really hope that he doesn't suck.
Same. I like Matt Harvey.
Yeah, I mean, I have no issues with him. Nick, I'm sure, likes him because he's not on the Mets anymore.
I don't dislike him, but I wouldn't call myself a fan of his.
Wait, was he ever really that good?
He was pretty good.
He was like their ace before
the ground. Started the All-Star game 1 year.
Injured Robinson Cano.
Yep. I don't know. I'm not seeing anything crazy. 140, 157.
He was the best pitcher on the bad Mets roster.
Yeah.
But he did kind of... He kind of took New York by storm at that time. He was on the cover.
His ERA was 2.27 in 170 innings. He had a 2.0 FIP. That's nuts.
Yeah, I mean, he was pretty good for that.
It wasn't bad at all.
He was pretty good. He was pretty. These aren't like these. I remember him being like. I remember him being like. Koufax good for like a two season. Not Koufax. Kershaw good for like 2 years.
I don't know if he was, but that was the perception. I don't think he was.
That's what it felt like. Yeah.
Yeah.
It felt like he was.
I know exactly.
He was never Kershaw good.
The media did overhype him a bit.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, because he was on the Mets. It happens a lot with the Mets.
It does. It really only happens with the Mets if you think about it.
Well, they need something.
He was definitely good, but like these numbers aren't like jaw dropping.
An above average pitcher. Oh my god.
He was 9-5 in 2013. His only All Star appearance.
Now we have to end it here, and I'm gonna end it with some good news. Quick news. There's not really much to talk about, but it's good news. And that's that every Marlin who tested positive is clear to come back.
Beautiful.
Congratulations, Marlins.
Because Marlins, you're somehow winning, and now you get your players back. What were you going to say, Tim?
Was it you guys who I told this? Do you know how big a Marlin is?
Maybe you told me this, but I forgot.
What? How big do you think it is?
Marlins can get big, I think.
A few feet.
Yeah, 14 feet. 2,000 pounds.
I was thinking like 5 feet.
I was thinking at most 10. Huge. I was thinking like outlier, like biggest one ever, 10. And
well,
yeah, is 14 I know. Me too.
Is 14 the average, or is that for like one mutated fella?
The strikingly beautiful blue marlin is the largest of the Atlantic marlins and one of the biggest fish in the world. Females that are significantly larger than males can reach 14 feet in length and weigh more than 2,000 pounds. Average size is 11 feet, 200 to 400 pounds. What?
200 to 400 pounds.
What is in that extra 3 feet that adds 1,600 pounds? The average one is 11 feet, 300 pounds. The biggest they can be is 14 feet, not that much bigger. 2,000 pounds.
What in the world? That's a ton.
That's a ton. That's a lot.
That's Where's ridiculous.
That's bonkers.
It's just a lot of density in those 3 feet.
Also, I want to give myself and you, Nick, and you, Austin, credit. I was thinking about this morning. We played against people proportionally that are better than Mike Trout.
Wait, what?
So Mike Trout is so much better than his competition, but I played against kids who were so much better than me, better than Mike Trout is than the average MLB player. Does that make sense?
I did as well. I know what you mean.
Against your like proportionate Mike Trout,
but better.
Yes, like the proportion he was better of Mike than Trout us? That I faced. Yeah.
He was better than us than Mike Trout is to the average MLB player.
Yeah, I get
and there
that.
Are kids who were like so much better than me. So like I played against people who are better than Trout.
Most of the kids were better than me.
All right. Yeah, but some of these kids were so much better than me.
Yeah, I know what you mean. All right, thank you guys for listening. We hope to see you next episode, and go Yankees.
Go Bills. Go Yankees.
Garrett
go Cubs.
Cole. Garrett Cole's a New York Yankee.
Thank you for listening. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter at BoogiePod and subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts.